You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, it's a lovely, well, not a lovely.
Not so lovely.
Not so lovely. But it, you know what? It's Monday. It's
people not out and about.
It's not snowing.
Right, right.
I've got shorts on. You've got shorts on. It can't be that bad outside.
Draft's not far away. You know, right. People are out and about. The world's opening up a little bit. So no complaints.
A couple of free agent notes of interest today. James Conner. Former Steelers running back, going to visit the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, and maybe when people listen to this, that'll be locked up. Who's to say?
Could be.
Let's stay there for a minute.
Okay.
With all respect to James Conner, Steeler fans, you want him to sign in Arizona.
And you want him to sign for a little bit of money.
The more the better.
Yeah,
the more
right.
The more
the better.
You want him to play like crazy and be their number one and have a great year and get you a comp pick.
Get you a comp pick.
You're getting
right.
with this.
The other part of the equation is something you brought up when we were off the air.
Arizona's less likely to draft a back then. I mean, they're one
because they've
the,
got Chase Edmonds,
and he's a good player.
He's a nice number two.
But they're going to add somebody, probably a size back that the Steelers would also be interested in. So I see five or six teams that are running back needy. Would they be less run? They would definitely be less running back needy if James signed.
Yeah.
So that's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're more inclined than if they sign Conner to wait until the third or fourth round to take a back.
Yeah, I was thinking that'd be more their style. Yeah. You know, take even a fifth rounder, you know, Herbert or somebody like that.
Because their leading rusher is still going to be Kyler Murray.
I would imagine.
I mean,
right? And they're going to play a lot of four wides. And, you know, so, no, I mean, that would be good for the Steelers. I mean, obviously it'd be off the table to bring him back if the draft doesn't go as planned. But
well, and that would be the only fly in the ointment there because there's just not much left.
There's not much else, right? If you don't get one of the top guys, we were talking about this off the air. I mean, if you don't get one of the top three, then you maybe got a, you know, Sermon would be okay. Stevenson would
then,
be okay.
Then you almost have to double down at the position in this draft, I think.
If they don't get a top
guy. If you miss on one of those top three guys, you almost have to do what the Packers did
the
a
Williams
few years
Jones
ago.
Year, yeah.
And you take, they took three that year.
They did. The seventh, I forget who the seventh rounder was, but yeah, it was.
And Williams was the first one. Jones was their second.
And he was the better of the two.
Yeah. I think Williams was a third round pick. Jones was a fifth. And then
that
they took
right.
another guy in the seventh round,
mm-hmm.
and Jones wound up being the best of the three.
Yeah, and then you had another good point off air, too, and we've mentioned this a couple times, that you don't go running back even in round one, trade downs aside. Then the second round, as soon as Najee falls, you better be calling to move up, and they're not real well equipped, unless they trade down in the first round, to trade up much this draft.
Unless you're willing to give up some next year picks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say, for example, you know, you get the extra comp pick for Conner. Well, then maybe you're a little more inclined to move something else because you're going to have four comp picks. Are you going to use four?
You get the third for Bud.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, would you like?
You'd like to have that ammunition, though, if you want to make a play for a quarterback
without
next
question.
Year.
And in general, do you think Javonte Williams, I mean, he'd be the one I would think would be in this case because Najee would probably fall. You know, is he worth the Steelers second this year and a third next year? I don't know.
That's in a nutshell,
I'm not sure if he is or not.
It depends on how far. I was asked that question over the weekend because I wrote a piece saying the Steelers have to get one of those top three guys regardless of what the price is. Now, when I say regardless of what the price is, whether it be a first-round pick or if you do have to make that move up, you have to get one of those guys. You don't have one right now.
I mean, maybe they like Sermon better than we do. I mentioned Herbert. We mentioned Stevenson. I'm sure that there's more than three backs they like, but I would be shocked if any of them are franchise back.
Right.
You know,
that's
the answer. Sermon's the one, maybe. But there's not a lot of experience there.
There's an injury history.
Yeah. Right.
You just got rid of one guy with an injury history. You're going to replace him with another.
Right. I mean, you really. And at that, a lot of teams are like that with left tackles.
Yeah.
You got to get them in the top 12 picks. You know, I mean, right. So it's not that bad a position to be in, considering the position that it is. You know, you can live with it if it's not ideal. But we've seen that, and it doesn't work so well.
No, it doesn't. And the you know, the question is, I mean, their second round pick right now is at 55.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to have to go up to 35? In which case, then you are giving up.
Third's not gonna do
enough. Then you are giving up. You know, multiple picks and a high one, or are you going to 45? There's a big difference there.
Yeah, and next year's third might get you to 45, but it's not going to get
you.
It's
not getting you to 35.
No, right, and then you got trouble.
Yeah, so I think to me again, that's why you almost have to take that guy. Ideally for the Steelers, what you want if you're a Steeler fan is for Harris to be there at 24. Then it's just a no-brainer.
I think so.
Then you just take it. Yeah.
But if all three are there, as we often do, maybe move down a little and roll the dice a little bit. I mean, that's the ideal situation. I think it's quite possible. But as it stands right now, would you give up 24 for Harris? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Maybe just have the bird in the hand. You're happy with your guy. You upgraded. Good. You know, and then everything else falls into place from there.
Right, and then you just make your picks as they come.
Yeah, right.
The question then, becomes: well, if Harris goes at say 18 or 19, well now
so Jets in Miami are kind of looming.
Now you're in a situation where okay, do you have to take that next back because, or is there a position where somewhere else? Again, we mentioned Caleb Farley before last week. Well, he did the medical combine last week, and everything checked out.
Sounds good, right.
Yeah, everything came out of that sounding good. He's going to be ready for the start of training camp.
Mm-hmm. In a way, you'd almost like him to go so you don't have to make that decision.
You don't want to have to make that decision because talent-wise, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. I mean, I wonder, we just talked about Arizona. If they sign Connor, can they pass on Farley?
Boy, I don't think so.
Right, right. I mean, like, there's a couple spots like that.
And maybe that's why they're kicking the tires.
Right.
Maybe it's no coincidence here that, well, hey, Farley might be okay here for the start of training. Why don't we take care of that running back
need? We were thinking about Najee in the first round, but we're going to take Farley or Newsome or somebody like that and worry about it later, which is good for the Steelers, I think.
Yeah, but it's all very interesting. There's
sure.
Again, you often say teams tell you what they think of their roster by the moves that they make. The fact that the Steelers, the only move that they've made at the running back position is signing Kalen Ballage, who is not a lead runner.
No. I really didn't like Ballage as a prospect, to be very honest, and I was very unimpressed with him early in his career. We haven't talked about him much. He was better last year for the Chargers than I expected.
Yeah.
So.
And even at that, he averaged 3.1 yards a carry.
Right. I mean, the numbers don't blow you away. They're not.
But he was
great.
A short yardage guy.
He was a short yardage guy. I mean, what I didn't like about him coming out of school was he had obvious traits. He's strong. He's fast. He's big, you know. Yeah.
If you look at him on paper, you go, well, that's a pretty good running back.
Absolutely. Or just look at his combine numbers. I'm like, yeah. So maybe the light's turning on of how to become a more nuanced runner and whatnot. But I'm not putting all my eggs in that basket. Like, don't think the problem's solved.
No.
He may not make the team.
Right.
I mean, there's a chance.
Here's the problem with that. You've already got a guy in Jalen Samuels who is learning to play the running back position at the NFL level.
And
Kalen Ballage is learning to play the running back position. Now he's farther along in the process,
and you're going to hand him the ball more than you would Samuels. You know, Samuels is a receiving back and kind of a failed experiment.
But there's just too many question marks at that running back position for the Steelers.
Which again, I like your idea of okay, you punt running back on the first 2 days because it just didn't work out. So you take one in the fourth and sixth, and we could come up with names.
Yeah,
but then we got six dudes fighting for one ball in camp, and it's hard to get them the reps, and is anyone really going to stand out and take the job over? And they all have questions, even if the rookies come in and shine. That's messy.
And then you take the chance that none of them are any good.
They might all be bumps. I mean, they might all be, I mean, you're getting Aaron Jones.
That whole idea that, well, you can just get a back anywhere.
We'll see.
It's great until you don't have one.
and
you need one. You're like, oh, well, this guy ran, I keep having James Robbins. The people who are proponents of this the Jaguars found James Robinson last year, and he was undrafted.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, If the league thought that James Robinson was going to be James Robinson,
mm-hmm.
he probably goes in the second round of the draft
last year. Of course. They missed on him. He's a small school guy. There's going to be someone in this class like that.
And that doesn't mean that those guys are in it for the long term either.
I bet the Jags draft the back this year too.
Right.
You know,
because you don't know, because there's a reason why he wasn't highly, you know, he wasn't highly thought of.
Don't be surprised when Kenneth Gainwell ends up in Jacksonville.
Right.
And
somebody else.
Right, right. He's catching passes, he's in there in third down, you know. Right,
they could draft Travis Etienne.
They had a ton of picks.
Get
right.
Lawrence and they, you know, give him Etienne. Here you go. Here's your Wooby from college.
Yep. And he's a fine story. He's a good player. He's a nice find. But I bet they don't look at him and say, oh, our running back problems are all taken care of, like you would when you draft Najee Harris.
I also had somebody say, well, the Steelers, when you know, their last two times that they won the Super Bowl, you know, it was, you know, Willie Parker was the lead back. But they gave him money.
Right. And that was a find.
That was a find.
A find at all positions.
But after
too.
They found him, they paid him.
They paid him, right.
He was one of the highest paid players on the team.
Yeah.
And for that second part. Super Bowl run, and again, he didn't last long.
I didn't say he didn't last long either. You know, it was a great find. The situation helped him too. I mean, he's a good player. I'm not taking that away from him. And there are examples of that. But to count on finding the diamond in the rough, that ain't good business.
Again, we'll go back to the stats that 4for4.com came up with. 67% of your 1,000-yard rushers since the year 2000. Were first or second round picks.
Yeah.
When you add the third round into that, it goes up to 80%.
Right.
So, yeah, you can find guys.
And the hit rate's pretty good. There's not a lot of misses in there.
There aren't a lot of – I mean, for every Richardson, Trent Richardson, there are five guys who hit.
Yeah.
Like Leonard Fournette was a hit.
He's a hit. I mean, was he worth the fifth pick in the draft?
Yeah.
No.
Probably not, yeah.
But
– Rashard Mendenhall was a hit.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
people saying that wasn't a hit, no, that's not the case.
Right.
They don't go to a Super Bowl in 2010 without Rashard Mendenhall.
If Mendenhall or Fournette were a left tackle, they'd be one of the starters in the league. You'd be making $10 million a year. You know what I mean? Like, they're quality players. Are they, you know, superstar running backs? No, but they're, you know,
they're 1,000-yard backs.
Yeah, you're getting some mileage out of them.
I mean, the Steelers haven't had a 1,000-yard back since 2017, Le'Veon Bell's last year. They then tried to pay. Well, they paid Le'Veon Bell in 2017 on the franchise tag. They paid him again on the franchise tag in 2018.
Well, they invested a lot in
him. And they offered him a long-term contracts both years. They tried to invest in the running back position.
Mm-hmm. And they did. And in the end, they probably made the right choice of not investing too much, you know, at his age. Najee Harris as a route runner is a lot like Lev Bell.
Yeah.
I mean, they have different styles as runners, but he can split out wide and win on slant routes and receiver routes at 230 or whatever he weighs. I'm sure they see a lot of Bell usage, maybe not style, and Bell's a very unique ball carrier. But I bet they look at him and say, I remember when we had that, and that was nice.
That was nice to have, yeah. Exactly. I mean,
especially
again,
Ben's going to get the ball quick. You know.
You go from 2017, they were 21st in rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Not great. Competent in running the ball.
But if I recall, and that it wasn't like it is now where there's no threat.
There's no threat now.
I mean, there's so much easier to play against now without any running game than being 21st.
Because the last 3 years, they've been 29, 30, 30 and, or 31 or whatever, and 32.
And they just stopped doing it.
Yeah.
You know, right. Or everyone crowds the line of scrimmage. You know, it's no one's worried about the run game.
Right. So, that's a problem. The other news of the day, Jadeveon Clowney visiting the Browns again on Wednesday.
I'm sure you agree with this, and I think you said it even before we were on the air. Steeler fans want him to sign.
Absolutely.
Big money, too.
Yeah, go ahead and give Jadeveon Clowney big money.
Yep.
What a mistake. Like, everything that the Browns have done well this offseason would be blown up.
I'm going to be like, yeah, didn't you learn anything?
Now we're going to ignore the edge position here because we got Jadeveon Clowney.
Right. We got the problem solved. We signed Tack McKinley and Jadeveon Clowney, all set.
They gave Tack McKinley $4 million for 1 year.
That was odd, too. It was early in the process, too.
So if I'm Jadeveon Clowney, I'm going in there and going, well, I want 10 at least.
I want more than 4.
I want more than 4, yeah.
Right.
I'm better
no
than that guy.
And I bet he'll get it. I mean, whatever contract he signs is going to be for more than 4. I don't know if Cleveland will sign him or not. And he's going to have spurts. He can be very disruptive. He's just not trustworthy. I mean, he's hurt all the time. He doesn't produce up to his contracts time and time again. If I were him, that's an ideal situation. You know, Garrett's on the other side. I could play 75% of the snaps. Looks like an up-and-coming team. I wouldn't have any interest in him if I were the Browns, though.
He got a one-year, $13 million deal last year.
With Tennessee.
From Tennessee. And produced no sacks.
No sacks. And constant injuries and issues and, right, takes plays off. And you watch his highlight tape, you'll say, wow. But if you watch every snap, you'll be like, man, this guy could be so much better.
The problem is the highlight tape is all from like 6 years ago.
A lot of it. A lot of it. Right.
I mean, he's 28 now.
He's been very injured.
He's had that micro fracture surgery on his legs before he even came into the league.
He's questionable every week and one of those type of guys. You know, got to hold him together with duct tape.
I mean, he's made $63 million in the NFL and never had a double digit sack season.
Wow. First being the first overall pick and looking like the Predator and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would not change the balance of power for me in Cleveland.
No, I think that would be a step backwards, actually, because, again, they probably then ignore the edge position.
Which is, it sets up well for them. What are they picking, 27 right then?
They're 25.
I mean, I think they'll get one of the Miami dudes or Quiddy Pay or Owe or, you know, whoever it is. There's going to be somebody there that fits the bill. I think that sets up really well for them. It'd be nice for them not to work that way because I think that's the best way to team build is use that first-round pick on an edge guy.
Yeah. Instead, they'll use it somewhere else. I saw Tony Grossi, who's covered the team for a long time.
Yeah. Said,
you know, if they make this signing of Clowney, now all of a sudden cornerback becomes the top priority.
I guess. Linebacker is not great either. They don't seem to invest their team building philosophy.
But they just, I mean, they signed two corners this offseason.
They did. I don't know.
And they drafted, and Greedy Williams is still there. I wouldn't count on Greedy Williams at this point, but still.
Right. I mean, is
he used a second-round draft pick on him 3 years ago.
He's still rather young. As a Steeler fan, I would much rather they signed Jadeveon Clowney than drafted Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, somebody who can actually line up and play.
Right, and it's cost-effective.
Because they're given if they sign Clowney, first of all, it's a one-year deal, more than likely, and he can't play.
No, he's really hard to count on. I mean, if it's a $5 million deal, okay, take your risk. He's not going to sign for that.
No,
he's not hurting for money.
Yeah, again, $63 million, he's going to say, I'll wait until somebody gets hurt.
He's in that mercenary stage of his career, too. He'll be on a different team every year.
Yeah, and can't play.
Yeah, he's hard to
We said this last year when he was a free agent. He was the most overrated guy. Yep. He was on everybody's top 10 list.
Yep.
He was on top 10 list this year for some of them. Top 20 at the very least. Based on, I don't know what.
Name value and draft pedigree. Right.
I mean,
in terms of production, no.
I don't care where you were drafted. What have you done lately? And if you look at his last good season was in 2017 when he had 9.5 sacks.
That's a long time ago.
That's a horribly long time ago in football years.
Think about what that team looked like in 2017. J.J. Watt was at the height of his powers. Merciless was a really good player.
Right.
Clowney wasn't even the guy people were game planning around.
Yeah.
And he really never has been.
No. Yeah. It's.
And he wouldn't be in Cleveland either. I mean, that's just, he's a number two specialty type player. Plays a run pretty well. We can bump him inside. That's fine. But, I mean, I'd much rather invest in Jalen Phillips or somebody like that if I was Cleveland.
Yeah. So, Steeler fans should hope that happens because that then messes up the Browns.
Especially you sign a big deal. You want Connor to sign a big deal, and you want Clowney to sign a big deal.
Yeah, and, you know, if that happens, then you go from there. But interesting that teams would even be kicking the tires on – maybe it goes to show that maybe Cleveland's not as sold on this edge rushing class. It's not a great one.
I would imagine that's how that works. You know, like A.J. Bouye just signed in Jacksonville, and, you know, they've invested in corners and had a first-round corner last year. And the thing that people don't realize about the draft process is, first of all, there aren't sleepers in the real world. Everyone in the league knows these people. And usually when we say a guy is rising or falling,
he was already there.
But the exception to that is, and every team's different, when coaches get involved, it changes. You know, like if the media's getting all their info from scouts and those early drafts and even a couple weeks after the regular season or Super Bowl, those are scout-ranked information.
Which there wasn't as much of this year, which is less
of a foundation than usual. And then the coaches get involved, and coaches see the game a lot different than scouts.
Right.
You know? I'm on the scouting side, so I'm a little prejudiced against the coaching staff. But they think they can coach up the toolsy guy, even if he's not a a great football player in general. I mean, these are broad strokes.
I mean, Daryl Drake was he loved Deontay Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he banged it. Hey, we got to get Deontay Johnson. That's the guy.
Yep. And those guys have a better understanding than the scouts of, man, I would love to be able to call this on 3rd and 5, but I don't have a Claypool-type receiver.
Well, they develop a relationship with the kid. Maybe, you know, they went out and they visited with him. They clicked.
Yeah.
They said,
look,
this guy and I are really on the same page.
I can't wait to work with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of positive that comes from it, too. But the boards do change, and that's when the fights happen, too. And who's your top decision maker? I mean, if it's Mike or if it's Kyle Shanahan, and he just says, I need somebody to be my joystick out on the field, and I'll, you know, just don't screw up what I send in. That's great, you know, but it better work.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one thing. I saw a story out of Boston last week where it said Belichick is going to maybe listen to his scouts a little more this year.
Okay.
You know,
he's notoriously does not.
Right.
They were information gatherers.
They've screwed up the draft the last few years because it's been more of Belichick doing well, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to go get, and it hasn't worked out necessarily.
And with all respect to Coach Belichick, who's obviously awesome at what he does, that's a lot on anyone's plate.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
you're going straight from free agency where you're the main talent evaluator. You're the guy meeting with these free agents and judging, okay, we want to bring this guy in, we want to bring that guy in, to 2 weeks later, you're doing the draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an awful lot on your plate. And he's not a young man anymore either. I mean,
right.
He's been around the block, and more than anybody, supposedly, he knows what they're having for lunch and who's sweeping the floor.
But it's why they've always tended towards the Alabama guys, the Rutger guys,
right.
The guys who he knows
his
the
buddies.
He knows the coaching staffs
himself,
and so I'll take this guy vouches for him, I'll take him.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that's where he should have gone.
See, I don't want to throw my old employers under the bus either, but when I was with the Browns, and I'm sure people remember this a long time ago, I'm old, Butch Davis was our head coach, and there was a massive trend of only drafting what were then Big East players that they played against at Miami, the U, or dudes that grew up in Florida that he scouted.
Right.
So you're playing with a lesser deck. You know, like
everybody else is taking the whole country.
Everyone else is playing from the whole. You know, when and we of course that staff scouted everybody equally, but when it came down to turn the chip in, I know this guy. I trust him.
I'm going to lean towards him.
Right.
Yeah.
And time's gone past. I don't think I've ever told this story, but I wasn't there. But many people told me when they left their Gerard Warren class. Remember, he was like the fourth pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody left the night before. I think they picked 3rd or 4th. They knew who the first 3 picks were going to be. And they all agreed they were taking Richard Seymour. And they get up on the clock, and the director of pro scouting, the director of college scouting, were blown away that they turned in Gerard Warren. Like, we talked about this. And Butch comes in and says, well, I recruited Gerard. You know, I knew him well. You know, I know he had a little higher grade on Seymour, but I was more comfortable with him because I knew him as a 16-year-old top prospect. And like, well, what are we doing here?
Why did we have all those meetings and talk about this?
Why did we fight about this for 3 hours last night? You know, right.
That happens. I mean, this guy knows that guy who knows that guy. Mm-hmm. And while he's vouching for him, he says he's really good. And
a lot of wins there happen that way, too.
Yeah.
Especially a year like this when you have less information. That stuff's super important, but you can't overvalue it either. It's like when Henry Ruggs runs a great 40, don't give him credit twice. You already knew he was fast.
Yeah, you knew he was. You already knew that he could run.
Yeah, I mean, that's we could see that. I mean, yeah.
So, yeah. But a lot of that stuff taking place now. Teams are kind of huddling together to kind of start to finalize their draft boards. In the next week or so, they'll start, at least I know the Steelers will start with their mock drafts and doing those kind of things.
That's when the director, or the pro scouts come in, too. Rams really need this. And, you know, it's hard for Kevin or certainly, you know, Coach Tomlin or those guys to know team needs of 31 teams and different cap situations and all that. So that's why I mentioned my Browns days. I was in charge of the NFC West. So when we'd kind of mock things out, hey, Matt, who do you think the Cardinals might take here? Like, oh, boy, if there's a corner, they got to do it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, you go to the specialist. And
but even at that, you're still guessing.
Oh, you're still guessing.
I mean, you have a very educated guess.
Right.
You've
seen
what they have.
Every snap, and you know, right.
But then you come back to,
I don't know, their evals.
Their evals.
Right, right.
who do they have relationships with that, right. Well, this guy's telling them that this kid, you know, they're not going to take him because that or that. So there's always that kind of stuff. Or this guy has, maybe this guy has some character stuff, but we wouldn't take him, but they would.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of a guy like Kevin Colbert. I mean, he knows what owners will let character stuff slide. You know, ownerships don't change much. You know?
Right.
And it works against the Steelers in some ways, I'm sure, too. Like, we always talk about this. I mean, the Ravens know who the Steelers like.
Right. And the Steelers know who the Ravens like.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're changing information. It's just, I know how they scout. Yeah. I know what they'll go for. Tough. They value toughness more than this team does, or they value speed more. Whatever it is, they know what they're after. And
yeah.
The owner won't tolerate a guy that does this, but he will tolerate this. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you know, if they reach for somebody, either they didn't know the information that you know about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other part of it. Like this year, in a year like this, how much? Like when we had Lance Zierlein on last week, and he's talking about Micah Parsons potentially falling because of the hazing incident at
Penn
State.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how much that hurts the guy. I have no idea.
That's the one you want a connection on.
Yeah,
you know, what really happened? Is he a changed guy? And then you go to their head coach and like, he wasn't here all year.
Right, yeah. You know, like, I know you're vouching like for the kid, but what's he done in the last 12 months? Because you haven't been around him.
He hasn't been here. Yeah, you know, right. I mean, I don't know what he's – is he, I'm making a joke, but I don't mean to. Is he off hazing people, or is he working hard and that's an insulated incident? You know, I mean, you've been out of the loop for a year. It's such an odd year.
It really is. And hopefully next year we're back into a more normal-type situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to make things very interesting here. Over the next couple of weeks as this continues to work itself out. And as we see this week, we mentioned this last week, both Justin Fields and Trey Lance having a second workout.
Someone's telling them
with the
49ers.
The 49ers are both going to be there now. They're gonna, all their head guys are going to be there. I don't know if it's going to change any decisions there.
It shouldn't. You shouldn't make that trade if you're not sure who the guy is.
Right. You made the deal. You didn't just say, well, we're going to take one of these three guys. We're just not sure yet.
Right. That can't be true.
Because you might have gotten that guy sitting where you're at.
Right. But I bet people are telling them, hey, there's five other teams that aren't sure between you two. Because they have a lot of similarities.
Right.
You know, I mean, I could see they're wanting to be more tiebreakers, more information, want to be in the building with them one more time. And maybe you don't even care how he throws. You know he's going to throw well. But
right.
Let's be around him one more time. I got 10 more questions I'd like to ask him.
And I wonder, if the 49ers move up, force Carolina's hand with the Jets.
Situation. Oh, I think that's the Darnold move.
Yeah, that's why they made the move to trade for Sam Darnold.
I think the big part of it is because now everyone's get to four, and Atlanta's like, I'm not talking to you.
Right.
You know, so now the best Carolina can do is get to five. Bengals don't traditionally trade out. So best I can get to is six. And Miami just traded into six, so they wanting to go anywhere. And so I'm going to settle for Darnold.
Yeah.
You know, at a discount rate and coach him up.
Yep. That's kind of the situation there. But that's going to do it for this segment of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. I want to say thanks to my partner, Matt Williamson. We also want to thank Jacob Recht for keeping us on the air throughout the conversation. And we want to thank you for listening. I'm Dale Lally to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, I wanted to take a look in this segment at a piece that Chad Ryder put out for NFL.com. It's called The Ideal Top Two Picks for Every Team in the League. I'm not going to agree with everything that he says.
Yeah, right, but they're good talking points.
But it gives you an idea of, like, if you're doing mock drafts yourself, what are some of these other teams are looking for? I don't know that I'll necessarily agree with them, but again.
The way I thought to kind of do this was you get a better idea, you know, from a Steelers perspective, who are teams that have running back in their top two needs, maybe,
right,
or center. You know, like, everybody could use a tackle, you know,
right,
but, I mean, everybody could use a corner, but there's not a lot of teams in the center and running back market.
And we can count that as we go down through here.
Yeah, maybe that's a good idea.
So starting in the AFC, he has the Ravens here first because it's alphabetical order.
Oh, okay.
So his ideal pick for them at 27 would be Kadarius Toney.
That's fine. Everyone mocks Terrence Marshall there.
Yeah.
I think they more size the position than Toney, to be honest with you, with
Brown. I would agree with that,
You know, but wide receivers in the ballpark.
Yeah. And then at 58, how about this one? Hunter Long.
Wow. I kind of understand that because they play so many multiple tight end sets, and he's different than Andrews. You know, he's the more in-line guy. I bet they would like Long. Okay. I mean, that's an interesting take, though. I kind of agree with that one.
For Buffalo, Ronnie Perkins at 30.
Seems early for Ronnie Perkins, but I've often mocked an edge guy to them at the end.
And at number 61, Elijah Molden.
Okay. Yeah, I think corner's a need. Either somebody opposite White or a slot like Molden.
Yeah,
that would be a welcome pick at the end of the second round.
Now, we're probably not going to agree with this one completely. Here's the Bengals.
Right.
At number 5, Penei Sewell.
Sure.
Okay.
That's.
At number 38, Javonte Williams at 38 to the Bengals.
Right.
They've got Joe Mixon.
They cut Gio Bernard, who, frankly, I wouldn't have any interest in.
The reason they cut Gio Bernard is they like the
young guys better, right?
Yeah,
right, exactly. And they're cheaper, and they have less wear and tear. I mean, they need everything, though. I mean,
taking a backup run. Javonte Williams isn't going to – they just gave Joe Mixon money.
Right, big money. Big money. He's their guy.
Yeah.
They're not using a second-round pick on Javonte Williams. I'm not putting running back.
If they did, they should be trashed.
Yes.
Like, that would be a dumb move.
They wouldn't be – running back wouldn't be in their top five needs for me.
No.
I'd take another offensive lineman after taking Sewell before I take a running back.
Right.
Let alone a tight end, another receiver, linebackers, you know, right. On down the list.
For the Browns, at number 26, he has Zaven Collins.
I suppose.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
At number 59, Davion Nixon.
Yeah, they're defensive tackle situations.
They could use a defensive tackle. That's
a little shaky.
Not a great pool to be fishing in, though.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, I could absolutely see two front seven players being their first two picks.
Yeah. For the Broncos, at 9, he has Justin Fields.
That would be ideal.
I don't think. We both have him as the number two quarterback on our boards. I just don't know that. I mean, if he lasts that far, they should.
They should sprint to the podium.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were them, I'd be very interested in getting to 5 or 6 if he starts to fall, or Lance for that matter. You keep hearing Washington can move up. I think New England will still be in that mix. So, sure. I mean, that's ideal.
At number 40, Jamin Davis.
Okay. Yeah. I've often mocked Micah Parsons there if they don't get a guy. Fangio's defense. They've all, like, in Chicago, they went and got Roquan Smith. He had Bowman and Willis in San Fran. He really does covet an every down run and hit type linebacker.
Houston, this is an interesting one because their picks are 67 and 109.
Yeah.
So you're digging a little bit deeper here.
Finding needs for them isn't hard, though.
No, it is not hard to do. So at pick 67 in round 3, he has them taking Rashad Weaver, the edge out of Pittsburgh.
I guess that's fine.
In the fourth round at number 109, he has him taking Derek Barnes, the linebacker out of Purdue.
I mean, I can't argue with any of that. They're all so late down the draft, and
I don't know if either one of those guys is available. I don't know if that's too early for them based
seems
on
like the neighborhood.
Yeah, seems about right.
They should just take best player available, no matter what position.
Yeah,
it is.
Even if it's a quarterback.
They need a quarterback, right?
The Colts at 21 take Samuel Cosmi.
I can agree with that.
The Colts at 54, which would be the pick right before the Steelers, take Kelvin Joseph.
I agree with that, too. They like corners with length. They could bring him along slow. I think an edge rusher would also be in that mix. So I think there's three distinct needs for Indy.
The Jaguars at number one, Trevor Lawrence. No real surprise there. Now they have a second first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. He says that their ideal pick will be Alex Leatherwood. I don't agree with that.
I don't really agree with that either. I've seen Mooring often mocked there. I could even see Barmore, you know, like the best player at some of a sort of weaker position. I mean, their left tackle is working on the franchise tag, but I'm not sure Leatherwood's a plug-and-play left tackle. Like,
I don't think he is at all.
The future, I would be the offensive line route I would go.
Yeah. Which leads me, because the next team on here is the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. At 31, he has them taking Elijah Vera Tucker. Why wouldn't...
Yeah, they'd cause me.
Why wouldn't Jacksonville take Elijah Vera Tucker
at 25? Right. If you're going to take Leatherwood, take Vera Tucker.
Yeah, because they both might be guards.
And he's not going to last at 31.
No.
No chance.
He has the Chiefs doubling down on the offensive line. He has them taking two offensive linemen. Elijah Vera Tucker at 31, Quinn Miners at 63.
They signed a center, Blythe, and they have
guards.
He could
be a guard, but...
Yeah. I mean, so could Miners.
They could both be guards, for that matter.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it wouldn't blow me away if that team took Kadarius Toney or Elijah Moore or even like the other Moore from Purdue in the second round.
Yeah,
they know how their bread's buttered, and guys like DeMarcus Robinson are going to be playing a lot of snaps for them. That's not how they're built.
Right. For the Raiders, number 17 overall, they take Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
In the second round at 48, they take Javon Holland.
Yeah. I mean, they're not hurting for needs either, especially on defense.
They just re-signed...
Joseph re-signed.
Joseph, yeah.
Yeah, I guess the Steelers kicked the tires on him a little bit.
So they've got Abraham, and they'll have Joseph.
All three of them are kind of more strong than Freeze.
Yeah.
I like Holland the best of all of them, though.
Yeah.
I mean, without question. But they could use everything.
The Chargers at 13 take Devontae Smith.
That would be nice. It'd be hard to pass up one of those top three receivers.
And then at 47, they take Dylan Raddins.
Wow. That'd be nice, too.
Yeah, I don't know if Raddins lasts that long.
I don't know if he lasts that long either, but they're in a good position.
Like, why would the Chiefs not take a guy like Dylan Raddins? Why would they take a second?
Right. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. I think they could go tackle. I think another receiver would certainly make sense. Maybe even Freiermuth in the second round for them. And I think corners on the board for
Raddins is an interesting... I mentioned this to you a few weeks ago. I was looking on Pro Football Focus's. They have snap counts for each guy at every position.
Yeah, right.
And I noticed on there that Raddins had taken a couple of snaps in his career at center.
Supposedly very smart.
And Greg Cosell last week brought up the fact that he thinks Raddins could be a center.
That was the first I heard it, right. That's interesting. I mean, from a Steeler perspective.
Right. That adds another guy to that mix. Who, again, if you're okay, we're just going to put our best five out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if Raddins is that guy and he's your center.
Or he's a tackle. Right.
Which one is it?
They need both.
Right.
And one less roster spot and one less active guy on game day and all that. It would take some getting used to him, for him. I mean, you can't draft a guy like that and be like, why don't you work on center on the side while you try to be a left tackle in the NFL?
Right.
You know, we want you to be a center. Knowing you can still play tackle.
I mean, the Steelers did that with Dermonte Dawson.
Yeah, right.
His first year, he played guard next to Mike Webster. The next year, he took over as the center.
People forget they drafted Chuck Lanz on that ahead of him, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, they were second and third round. I can't remember who went first.
Dawson was the second.
Okay, and Lanz was the
third.
So they took two centers in a row, knowing one's good, with Webby on the roster.
Right.
They kind of like centers around here.
They do, a little bit. The Dolphins at 6 take Ja'Marr Chase.
I'm fine with that. I do have some questions. Is it worth taking any of these receivers in the top 10? They're great players. Chase is my favorite. There's so many. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they could get Bateman with their second first-round pick or, you know.
They take, with that second first-round pick that you mentioned, at 18, Jalen Phillips.
I really like Phillips. But they could go for a linebacker.
Yeah.
Their O-line didn't get fixed.
No.
I mean, that could be Penei Sewell and Bateman, you know.
The Patriots at 15. Take Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
At 46, they take Tyson Campbell.
Boy, I love Waddle, but how many times they can go to the well on for early receivers, though?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I don't know that a pure speed guy like that is what they
need.
That's
what I was sitting here thinking, too. Originally, I'm thinking, boy, Waddle at 15 is great. They run the ball so much. He could be the take the top off, keep people out of the box. But are they ever going to complete the deep one, too? You know what I mean? Like,
otherwise, he's just getting a lot of sprinting practice.
Yeah, he's just running running gassers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne.
Those are the worst moves of the offseason, by the way. You'd rather have Juju
for $8
million.
Of those guys money.
Yeah. I mean, Juju's worth $8 million, and they're worth more than that.
People in Philadelphia are giggling over the fact that Belichick signed Nelson Aguilar.
Right. And he was okay for the Raiders used him better than Philly did and sent him deep more. But he's a three.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I agree. The Jets. At number two, take Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
At number 23, take Najee Harris.
They scare me a little.
That's the second back taken now. Mm-hmm. That's the first one taken before the Steelers.
Right, he'd be the one. That's certainly a pothole that Najee Harris could fall on. However, Joe Douglas is all about lines. You know, like when they were considering keeping Darnold, I think they would have taken Sewell. You know, like he drafted Mekhi Becton in the first round last year, and you got to remember their new head coach is Robert Saleh.
Came from the 49ers.
D-line, you know, Rush for Bosa, Buckner, you know, and they have Williams in place, and they drafted Lawson. I bet they would jump all over Ojulari or Phillips or Pay or, you know, that's just how they're built. The running back, I don't think, is going to be a first-round pick for the Jets, but it's a spot where Harris could fall.
Absolutely. Well, finally to the Steelers. At 24, he has them taking Creed Humphrey.
Who we both like, but I don't think I'm using the 24th pick on.
He would like when I put together my 24 the last time.
He was
on it the first time at 24.
Mm.
The last time I didn't put him on there because there were some other
just missed.
Yeah, he was like my guy that just missed the cut. I just don't see them taking it. Especially, you know, there's so many centers in this draft. There are way more centers. Yeah, there are way more centers available than there are running backs.
Agreed. And as deep as the linebacker class is. I wouldn't take him over Jamin Davis or Zayvon Collins.
Who
were still available, yeah. Right. Again, Creed Humphrey would be a great Steeler. He might be the next great center here, but I don't know if that's good business at 24.
Then at 55, he has them taking, and this is where I really disagree, Joseph Asai.
Who's a great prospect. I think he'll go in that neighborhood. I mean, he may not even be there at that stage. Their second pick's not going to be an edge guy.
I just don't see it.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't see them, after using a third-round pick last year on Alex Highsmith, doubling down and using another premium pick on an edge rusher.
I mean, hypothetically, they think Creed Humphrey is the next Armani Dawson. They take him at 24. Fair enough. All the running backs are gone in the second round. Fair enough. They'd take a linebacker.
Take an inside linebacker.
A
tackle, yeah.
It wouldn't be an edge guy.
Yeah. The Titans at 22 take Rashad Bateman.
I think that's very possible.
That would make some sense.
That absolutely would. He's easily, I don't know if we've had this conversation, he's easily my fourth.
He's number four,
now.
Yeah.
Clearly, in my opinion.
In the second round at 53, they take Aleem McNeil, the defensive tackle at NC State.
That's fine.
Good player.
Yeah, good player.
Yeah. On to the NFC. Now, we had two running backs taken in the AFC.
Yeah, ATN was a Jet, huh? Harris was a Jet.
Harris was a Jet.
And Javonte Williams
in the second round of the Bengals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One center, which the Steelers took. And that was the only true center. Well, somebody took Miners. It's 63, though. He would have been available to the Steelers.
Okay. Yeah.
He has the Cardinals taking Greg Newsome at 16.
Their corner situation is problematic.
And Elijah Moore at 49.
I can see that, too. I mean, I think they want to get back to four wide, and, you know, they don't have somebody like him.
The Falcons, who would be a running back.
They're definitely a running back, but then it won't take one in the first round.
At four, they take Kyle Pitts.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I think they're going to trade out.
At 35, they take Jason Owa.
The thing about the Falcons, which is, again, good for the Steelers, their running back need is maybe as dire as Pittsburgh's, but they're not going to take one at four. And they'd have to trade back to 20 to even consider it, probably. And they have so many defensive needs that if they stick at four and take – that would have to be their Pitts or a quarterback to me.
Right.
Then they can't go offense with the second pick. They just can't.
Right, yeah.
You can't go Pitts and then
completely
Harris.
Ignored your defense.
You got to win 50 to 52, you know.
The Panthers at number eight take Rashawn Slater.
That's a very possible one. I think Sewell or Slater could definitely fall there.
At 39, they take Pat Freiermuth.
Another good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite one yet. I think that's...
How about this one? At 20, the Bears take Trey Lance.
He's never going
to last. I don't see Trey Lance lasting to 20.
No way. No way.
At 52, they take Richie Grant.
Yeah. They could use everything on offense, too.
I just don't see, them getting Trey Lance at 20. Now, no, maybe they trade up and get him.
Maybe. Then they wouldn't have a second.
Then they wouldn't have the second round pick. The Cowboys at 10 take Patrick Surtain.
That's the chalk pick.
Yeah. At 44, they take Jalen Mayfield.
That's fine. I mean, you can make – people give Jerry Jones a hard time, and he's obviously a big personality. They've drafted very well under him. You know, love their linemen.
There's also the feeling that they spend a lot of money. They don't.
They don't. There's massive misconceptions about that team. And, oh, by the way, you should probably win a little more with the drafts they've had. And not only did they find Dak Prescott in, what, the fourth or fifth round, they found a borderline Hall of Famer in Tony Romo as an undrafted guy.
Yeah.
And they won nothing with those two. That's crazy. But their rosters are always good. They draft well. And they draft linemen. They draft offensive linemen high.
The Lions at 7 take Micah Parsons.
Yeah. It's a little early for me considering everything they need, but yeah. I bet Spielman and the knee biters like that like that pick.
And then at 41 they take Asante Samuel Jr.
Sure. Two defensive guys would make a lot of sense, as would a receiver.
How about this one? At 29 the Packers get Caleb Farley.
Wow. I can't imagine he falls that far.
I can't imagine
that's
that
a
either.
Perfect team.
Yeah.
I mean, how could they pass on him?
Yeah, you can't.
I don't know how Indy passes on him.
Right.
I don't know how Tennessee passes on him.
Like Cleveland would pass on him.
Right. I mean, those playoff teams that aren't worried about losing their jobs, that even if he redshirts for a whole year.
I don't think the Ravens would pass. The way the Ravens value cornerbacks.
He's exactly what they want.
Yeah.
Right. And the Steelers might be the same way. Like, we just can't pass on him.
Can't pass him. Yeah, too good. Top 12 talent that falls into your lap.
Might be a while till we get him, but when we get him, we'll be really happy about it.
In the second round at 62, he has him taking Brady Christensen.
Who was that again? I'm
sorry. The offensive tackle from BYU.
No, what team?
The Packers.
Yeah. That could make sense. Their O-line needs a little bit of attention. Two years in a row not giving Rodgers a receiver.
Yeah. The Rams, who don't have a first-round pick. So 57, they take Aaron Robinson out of UCF.
Yeah, they lost a corner to...
Two corners.
They lost two corners, right.
In round 3 at 88, they take Milton Williams.
That's their style.
That would be two really athletic.
Yeah, right. Learn a little bit from AD, you know, cycle you in, maybe play some defensive end. Yeah. They're another team that could really use everything.
Yeah.
They're picking late.
The Vikings at 14 take Christian Darrisaw.
Mm-hmm. Guard's the bigger need, but don't just kick somebody in or figure it out.
Yeah. At 78, they don't have a second round pick. They take Kyle Trask.
I guess that's a decent landing spot, and it has a similar profile to Cousins. Not a super high ceiling, but I guess I can buy that.
It's a third round pick.
Yeah.
The Saints at 28 take.
I might rather have Kyle Trask for third round money than Kirk Cousins for $30 million.
Okay, here's where we go off the rails.
Okay.
Really off the rails. Okay, so at 28, he has the Saints taking Eric Stokes. Now, we just went through to the Packers at 29 took Caleb Farley. Why in the world wouldn't you take Farley if he's checked out medically, if you're the Saints at 28?
Of course he's better
over
than
Eric Stokes.
My only argument against you on that is the Saints are all about win now. They might say,
not right now, they're not.
I mean, just historically. I don't know. I mean, they maxed out their credit cards again. I don't think they care about the future.
Because their next pick at 60 in the second round is Davis Mills.
Oh, wow. You think he could go that high? I bet he's off the board at that
people
point.
People were talking about him as sneaking into the end of the first round a lot.
The only way that happens is if Tampa takes him at 32.
Or unless
the Saints take him because they
feel like, hey, we got to get a quarterback. Because they don't have one right now.
I'm not sure if Davis Mills is there in the second round when the Steelers pick.
That's fine because I don't think the Steelers are taking him.
No, I think you want him to go. But I like him.
Yeah, I just, you know.
Interesting.
The Giants at 11 take Kwity Paye.
Yes.
The Giants at 42 take Levi Omwuzurike.
That's not their style of defensive tackle at all. They want the hog mollies.
Right.
You know, they don't want
he
the
is not that.
Guys. No. And that would be neglecting the O-line.
Correct.
You know, which I don't know what they'll do.
The Eagles at 12 take J.C. Horn.
Sure. Okay. Put him opposite Slay and play a lot of man coverage. And sure.
Yeah.
They go a lot of directions.
At 37, they then take Terrace Marshall.
That'd be fine. I mean, he's a lot different than Rager.
The 49ers at 3 take Mac Jones.
I think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
We can say whatever we want about it, but yeah.
In round 2 at pick 43, they take Carlos Basham.
He's their style.
Yeah.
I mean, again, that defense is built of the Robert Saleh conversation.
We still haven't seen Travis Etienne anywhere on here, by the way.
Yeah.
The Seahawks at 56, they don't have a first round.
They don't have a pick for a while.
So they don't have a pick until after the Steelers pick, so it doesn't matter what they pick.
Doesn't matter what they're doing.
But they take Melifuanu, the cornerback out of Syracuse.
They love the huge
corners. They like the big ones.
They have long arms.
And then in the round 4, because they don't have a third round pick, they take Austin Watkins out of UAB, the wide receiver.
So what pick is that? Does it happen to be on there?
129.
They have two picks in the first 129.
Yeah.
Wow.
But hey, they got a safety.
I mean, they got,
a safety that doesn't cover anybody. So they got
right,
that going
right,
for
right.
them. Who's really an edge?
They're such an odd team building team. Wow.
Okay, Tampa Bay doesn't take Travis Etienne.
Real quick, I mean, just think of the NFC West. I mean, with the Niners trade, the Rams are going to go 7 years without a first round pick.
Yeah.
Seattle rarely has one. Like, there's
Arizona's
no
the only team that's
coming in there, right?
Tampa Bay at 32 takes Gregory Rousseau.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense.
At 64, Tampa Bay takes Michael Carter.
I can see that. I thought they would sign White, James White, and I think they will be in the receiving conversation.
He has nobody taking Travis Etienne in the first two rounds.
Wow.
With their first two picks. I just got through the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, I bet there's other talk.
Because
I've never heard Christian Barmore's name.
Right. I'm like Washington here. He has Washington at 19 taking Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
That would make some sense. Okay.
At 51, he has him taking Liam Eichenberg.
I would bet to take that draft in a heartbeat.
Nobody took.
They could room together, too.
Nobody took ATN.
Nobody took Barmore. I don't know. There was a lot of things that I agreed with. There's a lot of things that I didn't agree with. The maybe they're not the top 64 players. You know what I mean? Like,
I get it. Some of the teams don't
Miami
have.
And the Jets have.
Some of the teams don't have high first round. But you got
seconds. And, you know,
ATN is not getting past through the first two rounds.
No, but the Jets might take him at the end of or at the beginning of round two, or Miami could take him at the beginning of round two. But they already had two picks in this already. I'm making excuses.
I get it.
Right.
I don't see it.
So who has running back needs? Let's go. Let's buzz through the league super quick. Who could take a running back in the top two rounds? New England? No.
No. We'll just go down the list here. Baltimore? Right. No.
No.
Buffalo?
Maybe.
Maybe, but I don't think
I'm gonna
so.
I'm going to give him a half.
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Bengals? No.
No.
Browns? No.
No.
Broncos?
Half. Melvin Gordon's not long for this world.
Texans?
I would hope not.
I don't see it.
And they don't have an early pick anyway.
Yeah. Colts?
No.
No.
They don't have any room on the roster.
Jaguars, maybe.
Maybe, but I bet it's more of a receiving back, like ATN. I mean, if you're going to get Lawrence, ATN.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think they'll take Harris or Williams, though.
Chiefs.
No.
Raiders.
No.
No. Chargers.
Probably not.
No, they just paid.
Yeah, probably not.
Dolphins.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the first real one, and I got two halves here.
Patriots.
I don't think so.
No. They've used high draft picks on two of the guys on their roster.
Right.
Jets.
Yes.
Steelers.
Right now, P. Ryan's probably their best guy.
Yeah. Steelers, yes.
Yes. That's three real ones.
Titans, no.
No.
Cardinals, at this point right now, yes.
Yes.
Falcons, yes.
Yes. But their draft doesn't set up great for it.
Panthers, no.
No.
Bears?
No.
No, but a maybe in a second round.
They get Cohen back.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much faith you put in him.
Cowboys, no.
Like, I bet a couple of these teams, I bet that's where Herbert ends up in the fourth round.
Yeah.
You know, like the Bears, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Cowboys, no. Lions, no.
No, no.
Packers?
No. They just gave Aaron Jones big money and drafted Dylan. Yeah.
Rams? No.
No.
Vikings? No.
No.
Saints? No.
No, they kept with Murray, which was a shock.
Yeah. Giants, no.
No. Giants would be another fourth round Barkley backup guy.
Eagles, no.
No.
49ers?
Probably not, but they don't have the draft picks anyways. Yeah. They just traded them all.
Seahawks aren't in the first round.
No, they paid Carson.
Tampa Bay, maybe.
Mm-hmm. But a receiver.
Yeah.
A Brady-friendly guy.
And Washington.
Doubt it. Gibson's the guy.
Right.
So we came up with four or five needs. But some of those teams were Miami, which I'm not sure I put them in their top two or three needs.
Right.
The Jets, I would not put them in their top two or three needs. Atlanta, I would not put them in their top two or three needs. So in terms of where they're on in your pecking order versus how bad you need them, the Steelers might be number one on the list.
They very well may be, yeah.
You're right. I mean, the team – and what I mean by that is the team most likely to invest a premium pick, considering what else they have and all that, and the status of their quarterback, and, you know.
I agree. Yeah.
But you can still get shut out on those three easily.
Yeah, I mean, the value could be where the value's at for those teams. Mm-hmm. But it's not – the Bengals aren't taking a running back in the first two rounds.
No way.
Not happening.
No way. Mike Brown would roll over after
paying
Nixon. Right.
Give that guy all the money for if we're going to take this guy in the second round.
Right, and they like their young guys, as you mentioned, and they need linebackers and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. No way.
Anyways, he is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You've been listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We want to thank Jacob Reck for keeping us on the air throughout the course of the show, and we want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, it is mock draft time here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Mock draft Monday.
Mock draft Monday.
We've only got a couple of these left, yeah.
Two more. This one next Monday, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Today we're using the Pro Football Focus.
Fair enough.
.com drafter because I like their interactive a little bit better.
Are you mixing in the consensus stuff?
I went more heavier towards the consensus, yes.
Okay, because I don't want to cheat and get easy running back.
Right. Okay, so our pick is up. The guy's taken right ahead of us at 19 was Quiddy Pay to the Washington. Gregory Rousseau to 20 to Chicago. Terrace Marshall to the Colts.
Perfect.
Trevon Moehring to the
also
Titans.
Great. Yeah, yeah.
Jalen Phillips to the Jets.
All the right people are falling.
We are on the clock. Let me just take a look here. I believe.
Okay. So obviously we're going to
Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, and Najee Harris, all available.
Okay.
Also available.
I think that's very realistic.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
I like him a lot.
I like him a lot, but I don't know that he fits well with Bush.
No, right. That's boy, they'd be fast, but they'd be little.
Yeah, they'd be small. Rashad Bateman. Nice
great player but not a huge need.
Greg Newsome.
That would be nice.
You're looking at Jason Owa, Aziz Ojulari.
I'm sure all the centers are there.
Tevin Jenkins available.
Jenkins is a really good player.
Zaven Collins available. I mean, there's a lot of guys there that we would take at that spot.
Najee still would be my pick.
We do have a trade back option.
That would be very much of interest.
It is with Tampa Bay.
That's the neighborhood I want to be in. To be honest, it's funny you mention this because if I could trade to anywhere in the first round knowing that all three running backs are there, it would be to 32 because I'll get the
You're getting
most.
In ahead of the second round
yes.
guys that might go running back.
I still have the fifth-year option, which I think might be important for a running back because I don't know if I want to sign and pass that.
Right.
That's the team I'd love to trade with.
Well, you want to see what we can...
I think you could get their second.
Let's try 32-64 for 24.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get them to sweeten the pot just a little bit with one of next year's picks.
Like a fifth.
Yeah, let's see if we can get them to toss in. Let's try a four just to see.
Because they're the champs.
You're the champs, yeah. You got somebody you want to come up and get.
Trying to win now.
Let's see what you got.
Because 64 doesn't have a ton of value.
No, they declined
it. Does. They did?
Yeah.
How about 32 and 64?
Let's bump it back. See if they'll do it for a fifth round pick. No. Okay. That's fine.
That's fine. I would do 32 and 64.
That's not a killer for us. We can do those.
Especially with three backs on the
They accepted that.
Good. Okay. Who'd they take? I'm just.
Let me get resume the draft, and they took.
Maybe an edge guy. They were falling like crazy.
Yeah, they took Zaven Collins.
Wow, they have linebackers, but.
Well, but how much longer?
He's a lot different than the guys they have.
He is, and right. How much longer is?
They just gave him money, but how much longer is he going to play?
Yeah,
yeah, David, Levante David.
Yeah,
and three of them could be in the field at once too.
Yeah, and you could play Collins outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, in that. Okay, so we're back up, and let's see if all three running backs are available. Well, we can run through the picks here after.
Okay.
So Zaven Collins went to Tampa. Cosme went to Jaguars.
Makes sense.
Kadarius Toney. To the Browns.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I don't see them going that direction, but another weapon wouldn't kill him.
Rondell Moore to the Ravens.
Wow, that's early.
Yeah. Travis Etienne goes to the Saints, which would be weird.
That's very weird.
Pat Freiermuth goes to Green Bay.
Okay.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah goes to the Bills.
Boy, that's quite the linebacker career.
And Jason Owa to Kansas City.
Let's just take Najee.
Tevin Jenkins was still on the board there, and Kansas City passed on him.
Someone took Cosme over him, too.
Yeah. We do have a couple of trade offers. Buffalo's on the phone. They don't have their – no. And they're both later picks.
Yeah. I think we take our back now. We're happy, and we got the gravy on top at that 64th pick, and all's well.
We take Najee Harris.
That's the guy I would have taken the 24.
Right.
Now we take
got him anyways.
Yeah. 32 is a great spot.
Now we're rolling down to 55. By the way, Javonte Williams went at 53, so...
Good. I think that's... I don't think he's going to get to 55.
No, I don't think so either.
I'm glad that happened because...
We're back up here. How about this? Rashad Bateman's still on the board.
Wow. He would have to have your highest grade.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Is Juju going to be back next year? He's picked up an extra pick. I don't think he can do it.
Though. I don't think he can do it either. Elijah Moore also still on the board. Like,
I like those two a lot.
I like those two.
They might be my fourth and fifth receiver in this draft.
Walker Little available.
I'm interested.
Dylan Raddins available.
Interested.
Jabril Cox available.
Nah, I'd take those two over Cox.
Elijah Molden.
Good player.
Quinn Miners.
I like him a lot.
Liam Eichenberg. Jamin Davis.
Jamin Davis would be hard to
Kendrick Green. You got...
A lot of the centers must have went, though.
Well, let me see here. Let's go look at the... Because it's their ranking, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Miners, Kendrick Green, those are the top two guys available.
See, this comes down to me. There's a lot of tackles I like there of Miners versus Jamin Davis. I mean, Davis is really, really hard to pass.
Well, remember, we get another pick coming up at 64 because we made that trade.
I know.
So
and
which
I
is
wish
your...
there was a couple centers on the board.
Yeah,
and I'd just say
because there's just two right now.
Right.
And so you say, okay, if I pass on center here... The Ravens could take a center.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is behind us? Seattle.
Could.
The Rams.
I mean, all those teams could take Jamin Davis.
Yeah.
Right.
The Saints, no. Buffalo.
Doubtful.
Green Bay could.
Green Bay definitely could.
Yeah. So I think maybe you have to go center here.
Yeah. Although I think Davis is the superior prospect, but...
You hope that you know you get somebody, him or somebody of his nature. Or his, there's more.
There's
it's
be
deeper.
More of them.
Yeah, the pond is deeper there.
Yeah, I think we go center.
Okay, Quinn Miners is the pick, and we're back up on the clock. The picks after us were Patrick Johnson at 56 to Seattle, which would make sense because they think outside. You know.
Yeah, they're kind of move. Yeah,
but he's an edge. They could use an edge.
Oh yeah, without question.
Elijah Moore goes at 57 to the Rams.
Yeah, good player.
Bateman goes to the Ravens.
No, they do cartwheels to get Bateman.
They took receiver.
Yeah, I guess they did. Huh? Wow.
Aleem McNeil goes to the Browns.
Hmm.
Kyle Trask to the Saints.
I suppose that is understandable.
Jay Toufele to the Bills. Richie Grant goes to. The Packers, and Walker Little goes to the Chiefs.
So we have Jamin Davis.
That means Jamin Davis is staring us there in the face, or you get the offensive tackles. You get Raddins, Eichenberg.
We got to take Davis. I feel like it's cheating a little. But people fall every year, you know.
Yeah. They have him at 63 in their rankings.
He's a first-round pick.
They have Jabril Cox at 47.
I'm sitting here watching NFL Network, and DJ has him at 24 in his ranking.
Yeah, that doesn't mean DJ's right. I don't see him getting out of the top 50. Let's put it that way.
Let's not take him. I mean, he's the obvious slam dunk. I felt bad taking him in the Miners pick.
Well, if you don't take him, then who do you take? Do you take Raddins? You go offensive tackle there? Do you take,
who's the next?
Do you take Raddins? Do you take Eichenberg? They get Jabril Cox ranked ahead of Jamin Davis.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can understand that.
James Hudson available. Justin Hilliard. Monty Rice. Pete Werner still available.
Mm-hmm. No, let's take Davis. I mean,
this is what's available.
Yeah. I mean, we don't need to go off the board and change the rules and whatnot. I mean,
it's a second round pick.
Because my answer was going to be, well, who's the next best linebacker? Well, there is a linebacker, so take him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so we're back up again here now at 87. Raddins still available.
That would be hard to pass.
Yeah. The other top guys, Jabril Cox still available. There were some weird picks up top that mm-hmm. may have pushed the linebackers
there were
down.
Kyle Trask, yeah, some of those ones, right. But we're out of the Jabril Cox sweepstakes.
Elijah Molden available. Liam
that
Eichen,
would be interesting.
Eichenberg still available.
Eichenberg versus Raddins, who are you taking? I think Raddins has a chance to play all five positions. We mentioned that on a different
Yeah, he's the better athlete. Eichenberg's maybe the more polished guy, but there's some
If I had to play one today, I'd probably rather line up with Eichenberg.
But he also might be a guard.
Mm-hmm. He's a little short-armed.
Yeah.
I think I prefer Raddins.
I think so.
Or the Steelers.
He's a better athlete.
Yeah. And I mean, he might not have to play this year.
Let's take him.
Yes.
All right, we just filled four key spots.
Yeah.
Now you start looking at edge, corner.
Corner is what I believe the most, but an edge I would not turn my nose up.
So you got Jamar Johnson.
Okay.
Who always seems to fall in these mock drafts.
Yeah, he does.
Jamin Sherwood, no. Kendrick Green still available. How about that?
Bummer.
Tay Gowan, Josh Palmer, Oso Odigizuwa, Milton Williams still available. Thomas Graham out of Oregon, the cornerback.
They're going to have corners ranked high. I bet there's not much in the way of corners.
Cade Johnson, Jalen Darden. Kelvin Joseph still available.
That feels like cheating, too.
Well, they got him ranked 85th, and we're at pick 128.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah,
Benjamin St. Juiced.
I would take Joseph. Just a big athlete.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this. I mean, St. Juiced is pretty good as well.
Yeah, he is.
I think you take Joseph.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, that's a pick.
He's got a roommate, too.
We're not cheating.
We're not cheating.
Following the board.
Right, right. I don't think it'll go this well for Pittsburgh, but
all right, we're back up at 140. The top edges. We're at the same spot we're always at here. Kane Doe from Florida State, Malcolm Kuntz from mm-hmm. Buffalo, Chauncey Golston, Janarius Robinson, Jonathan Cooper, Jordan Smith, Charles Snowden, Patrick Jones, Ellerson Smith.
I like Ellerson Smith. I kind of like Kane Doe, but I like the other Florida State guy better, Robinson. He's long. He's athletic. I think he's a good player. I don't think we've ever taken him, but
we have not.
Been working on our triple take edge guys. I think both those Florida State guys are interesting.
Tight end still available. Tommy Tremble.
Nice.
Yeah.
We've helped the offense a lot.
We have.
Well, I guess we have a corner and a linebacker too.
Yeah, I mean we've split it up pretty well here thus far.
Tremble would be hard to pass up.
He's a pretty good player.
I kind of lean towards Robinson though.
Let me just see what the best available is.
Okay.
Jamar Johnson's still available.
Yeah.
He's their 41st ranked player. We're pick 140. I don't know, understand why he always ends up lasting that long. Same thing with Sherwood out of Auburn, Kendrick Green, Tay Allen.
Kendrick Green would be great if you could get Kendrick Green this late in the real world, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Milton Williams still available.
Yeah, interesting.
Cade Johnson, Jalen Darden.
I mean, do you consider Milton Williams?
I would consider it.
Mm-hmm. Just throw him in the mix, bring him along slow.
We're in round four, we're at the end of round four here.
Tremble versus Edge, I think, is the obvious conversation. Yeah. But a guy like Williams has a lot of potential. A
lot of potential there.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay, we can do that. Milton Williams
is the
pick. It's
an uncharacteristic move for us. I mean, only six of those D linemen will probably make the team. It's not good news for...
But
Davis,
we're getting up in A. We got two of the starters are over 30.
Oh, right, right.
So there is a need there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're cruising along here to pick 216, and we're up. The top guy's available, Jalen Darden, still available.
I like him a lot.
Chris Evans, Simi Fajoko, I should say, Bobby Brown, Shakir Brown? Yeah, Ernest Jones.
They're going to take a corner pretty soon.
Ramondre Stevenson, Shai Smith, Jonathan Marshall, Janarius Robinson, still available.
Got to
take him. Boom.
Yeah.
Picks
made. That's a nice pick. He could be a potential starter. Not this year, but I mean, in terms of his career.
And we're back up at 245. Jonathan Marshall, Sedarius Hutcherson, Larry Broom, Borum, I should say, Michael Manet,
Ashari. I hate to do this, Crosswell. But I feel like we'd have to take a corner, whether it's a slot, an outside.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the best available. It's a lot of running backs and guys of that nature. The top cornerback available, Shamar Jean-Charles from Appalachian State.
Yeah, I've heard some good things. I haven't watched them, but he doesn't have to play right away, though. I mean, I'd be fine with that.
Let's see here. Let me see if one of my
Your favorite
slot safeties is available.
Yeah, that could work, too.
Greg Eisworth, Leon O'Neill, Trey Dean from Florida, Marcus Murphy, Chris Brown. I think
I'd take the App State guy over all those dudes.
Trey Dean is interesting.
The Florida guy?
The Florida guy. He was their starting slot in 2019.
Okay.
Now, he is huge, 6'3", 200 pounds.
Big. Is he a potential safety, too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's listed as a safety.
That plays the slot.
6'3", 200 pounds is a big slot.
It's a big slot. Did you take him over the App State guy? I really don't have a qualm either way, but I think there has to be a corner here.
Yeah.
I don't even care what shape or size he is.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. I need a backup slot one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
St. Charles, I'm just looking here. He's 5'11", 190, so there's some slot-like size there. He has played the slot a little bit.
A little.
12 snaps there. 12 snaps in 2020, 16 snaps there in 2019.
And that's a tough one. I just don't know that answer. But if you're at App State, if you're a pro prospect, you're probably not going to the slot very often.
Yeah, and they're saying Jean Charles is likely a slot-only player at the NFL level because he's 5'11", 190.
Okay. That's fine with me.
Yeah, let's take him.
Okay.
Boom. Done.
Nice. No, we needed a corner.
And we're back up with our final pick, 254. We filled all the needs. This could just
take a tight end, but these seventh round or late round tight ends usually aren't too sexy.
You're looking at Pro Wells, Dylan Soner.
Okay.
And take the big guy.
Yeah.
Kerry Angeline, Noah Gray are the top guys available.
Gray's not bad either.
Yeah. What are you feeling?
What about a scat back?
We can look at the running backs.
Think we need it, but if there's a weapon type guy, maybe it could play the slot.
How about Elijah Mitchell?
That'd be nice. Now, he might redshirt all year and be your number two for the next 4 years. That's not bad.
I'll take him.
I mean, I bet he's your starting kickoff returner right now. Yep, probably plays on teams.
He's the pick.
He's fast.
Yeah. All right, so we got a B for our trade with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Najee Harris gets us a C+.
Running backs.
Quinn Miners just gets us a C. Jeez. They didn't like the Miners pick. Jamin Davis, C+. Dylan Raddin, C+. Kelvin Joseph, C+. Milton Williams, C+. Janarius Robinson, C+. Shamar Jean-Charles, C+. Elijah Mitchell, C+. Okay. This is like my high school transcript.
Boy, I would have killed for that, those scores.
Our overall grade somehow, though, is a B-.
Wow. 84 C-pluses add up to a B-.
Apparently, because
we added a lot of stuff.
We got that B trade that pulled our grade up.
We also added a lot of bodies.
We did.
You know, what was that, 8 or 9 picks?
Yeah, so we Najee Harris, we traded back with Tampa Bay.
Which, again, I think is a sweet spot to trade to.
Yeah. We got Najee Harris at 32, which is a steal.
Which is wonderful, yeah.
Quinn Miners at 55, which I think we both take right now.
If you gave me those two as your first two picks, I'd
you're
going to
get
yes.
Matt. You're going to get Najee Harris and Quinn Miners with the Steelers' first two picks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I got to be honest, I have no inside scoop. If I was sitting there in Vegas and they said, "Give me your bets who the Steelers' first two picks would be," they would be my picks. I just think it's it fits with the team and needs and all that stuff.
With that additional 64th pick that we got.
This guy thrown on for sugar.
Jamin Davis.
Right. Now you're talking.
Yeah. And even if that's Pete Werner.
Exactly.
Or someone of that nature.
End of second round linebacker.
Makes us a better football team.
Yes. I mean, if you're going to take Harris at 24 and you give him at 32 and the sugar on top is end of second round linebacker, great.
Yeah, because that guy's going to be a starter for you. It's a second round draft pick.
He's going to be very useful. Yeah. Right.
Dylan Raddins at 87.
That's nice little sugar, too.
Yeah. Kelvin Joseph at 128.
That's stealing, in my opinion, but fair enough.
It's a deep cornerback draft. It wouldn't surprise me if one of those top corners fell a little bit.
And it's kind of like the Davis conversation. Just if you get the best corner on the market at 128, maybe that's not the same player. Good. You know,
right.
It's all worked out
but
well.
But it's somebody decent. It's
draft.
Somebody that probably has a third-round grade, but because the corner class is so deep, you get a little bit of a bargain.
And maybe it's a better slot corner, though.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a corner.
Yeah. At 140, we get Milton Williams.
That's just bonus prize.
I mean, everybody that we drafted on here was well below. We took them well below where they were rated at.
Mm-hmm.
Except on their list, anyways. Except for Najee Harris.
Okay.
Everybody else we took ahead of or behind, below where their average was.
Three really good athletes we had to the defense.
Yeah. Then we got Janarius Robinson at 216.
I like that a lot.
Shamar St. Charles, or John Charles. I don't want to keep on to say St. Charles.
So we had two corners.
At 245. And then Elijah Mitchell at 254.
Just see what happens. I mean, he might be better than McFarland. Who knows?
This might be my favorite draft
I was about to say, I think this is the best draft we've had yet. People fall. You know, I'm not making excuses for the software. I do think if you can move to 32, a lot of good things happen, you know, because you'll probably get 64 or right in that neighborhood. It's great. Or if you can move to 31 or, you know, at the beginning of the second round even, you're going to get a nice second round pick in return or another top 65-ish pick in return.
And I'm not interested necessarily in next year picks.
Not from
great teams. If I can get one, I'll take it.
Sure.
As sugar on top. But ideally, if I can get 2-for-1 for that first-round pick this year.
If I can knock out one more need this year. And again, that's like a linebacker or a center or something important.
And the thing about it is, you know, when we draft there are 9 players.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's talking about, the Steelers only have 23 players under contract for next year.
Well, so it's 32.
All of a sudden we just added guys, of which six of them are, you know, fourth round picks or higher.
Yeah.
They're going to make a roster.
Make a team next year, too. Right. Yeah. They're all going to be around. And those late picks, we'll see. But no, you're right. No, I think that's exactly, maybe the names are different, but I think the structure of that draft is exactly what I'm after. That's where you get your edge. You get a little trade down and get an extra starter in the process. Because your biggest need's running back, you might not have to take him at 24, but you better not wait too long.
Somebody
you
know? Else may want to come up for one of those higher rated cornerbacks or one of those offensive tackles.
The edge guys that are going quick.
Right.
There's things that people will want that are higher commodity positions.
Yeah.
You know,
which might put that in play for you this year.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. So
it's funny that Lance Erline mentioned that unprovoked. I mean, he doesn't know we trade down all the time.
Yeah.
And he was on thinking, boy, 24 might be a perfect spot to move down a handful of spots. I'm like, I think you're right.
I think you're right. Yeah. Because it's that spot, like, you're okay, let's say there's 15 guys in this draft. And maybe that's a bit rich for it, but maybe there's 15.
Gone. Or maybe one's left.
Or maybe one's left, or
because five quarterbacks.
The five quarterbacks go up above you. Now that pushes that next group down.
Yep, yep.
And then you get into those teens, and teams are going, well, I like this guy, but we have a need here. We got to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And so they take that guy instead.
And a lot of the playoff teams, the teams that think they're contenders, say we need one thing, and I don't mind giving up my second rounder to go get it. You know, like the Steelers did with Bush that year. You know, like there's. I really need to add this position, and I think I'm a contender.
And there's only so many that are.
You know, I'm going to get him at 24.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's a good spot for that.
Yeah. Especially, again, if the way you look at it, the edge guys aren't top 15 guys, I don't believe, in this
but
draft.
That's the neighborhood they'll go.
Right. That's where they start going off the board.
I think tackles are in that neighborhood.
Tackles, other than the first two, are in that board. The linebackers, other than Parsons, are really in that.
Yeah.
That's where you start.
I think people would trade up for a tackle or an edge more likely.
Probably, yeah, because of the depth. And cornerbacks, I mean, if you're not seeing those top, like if Surtain doesn't go off the board until 10-ish, well, then those other guys are all available in the teens.
Right.
And teams start seeing, you know, they see a couple of those guys go, and they say, well, we really got to go up and get Newsome, or we got to go up and
Arizona
get Farley.
Arizona grabs the second one, and all of a sudden the third one's, ooh, we better go get him.
Yeah.
No, I think that's very possible.
Yeah, so that's what you're looking at with that, those little mini runs that teams get a little antsy.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to trade up for a D tackle or a receiver or a quarterback or a running back, which is good for the Steelers.
Yeah.
But those other positions, yeah.
Yeah, could happen, and so you know, you wait and see what how that breaks down in terms of who moves around.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing you can never really in a mock draft. Like people say, well, who are the Steelers going to pick at 24? I don't know.
I don't know.
They don't know.
Right.
They have they have that list of guys available mm-hmm. who they would like to take there.
This is who we're comfortable with.
But that doesn't mean that any of those guys, you know, again, they'll have their 24. One of those guys is going to be available, but it might be the 24th guy.
Yeah. And this goes for us doing these mocks, which are really fun. But you see a new mock on TV or on the internet every day. After a while, they kind of don't mean anything because one move screws it all up or,
right.
you know.
A trade. Somebody trades up, but you didn't expect.
That Darnold trade put a wrench into everything. The Niners trade put a wrench into everything.
You know, I'm just going to use him as an example because, you know, he's with the Steelers now. But when Tyson Alualu went 10th overall in 2010.
Yeah, right.
Nobody had him going 10th overall.
Not even a little bit. Who was every year.
Who was another one? I think the 49ers took.
Or even Cleveland Farrell at 4.
Right. Nobody mocked that. Yeah. Nobody else would have taken that guy at 4.
It only takes one to screw it up.
Right.
You know, no question.
And in both instances there, we're talking about defensive linemen.
Yeah, good point.
You know, so does somebody who's really needy at that position say, well, I got to go up and get Christian Barmore?
Could
you know?
Be. I mean, they only one team has to have a good grade on them.
Right.
Saying they're having the same conversation we are with running backs. We really need a D tackle. There's only one that I want.
And we're picking a 28 or whatever.
Right,
we can't
right.
go, you know.
And Jags might snag them or
yeah.
something, you know, someone else might grab them.
So we got to move up 10 spots or mm-hmm. we got to go up to 24 and make sure we get him.
It also wouldn't shock me if before the draft, you know, there's a lot of rumors that Washington really wants Lance or Fields. They could give up the farm, go from where do they pick, like 21?
They're 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go to 4, and then all of a sudden you're going – crap, Atlanta's picking 21. They might take Najee Harris.
They might take Najee Harris, yeah.
Right. Or they could go defense, but now they've got a ton of picks. That screws up. That could screw you up bad.
Yeah,
you know?
That's why, I mean, you have to be light on your feet in these mm-hmm. situations. That's and again, it's why, you know, people always say, well, why didn't you get the Steelers pick right this year?
They're picking, not going to very
they're picking
often.
In the 20s.
Right,
if I get it right, I should get an award.
I mean, even if Kevin was sitting here right now, I bet he could give you 5 names and would be 95% right that one of those 5 will be the Steelers' first round
right.
pick.
But it's 5 names. You got a 20% chance.
Right. There's 5 we love. One will come off the board that we didn't know. 3 of them will be there that's available. We'll consider trade downs. Or one's available.
Right.
You know, I mean,
and then you just take them.
And you just take them. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's the way it works.
It's an inexact science, and you don't know. Again, there's so many variables there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. You know, if it's a top 10 pick, anybody can nail those.
Oh, right.
You know,
yeah,
by and large.
Question. I mean, Penny Sewell or Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get one of those. We like them all. We know they're going to be gone, and yeah. They're not going to last
yeah.
much longer.
By this time next week, we'll probably know pretty sure. Or we'll be pretty sure who the first 3 picks are.
Yeah.
I think
we kind of know, but
yeah.
I guess there's a little bit
of uncertainty.
And then
it'll go from there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the draft really starts.
Yep. And even a week from now, somebody else might own that 4th pick, or it might come out that
or, you know,
Atlanta's taking Trey Lance.
You know, I've had this happen before. I would do my final mock draft, and I was still working in a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm off that Wednesday night before the draft because I'm working the whole draft weekend.
Yeah, makes sense, right.
And all of a sudden, somebody makes a trade Wednesday night. And I got to go back. I got to go go back in the office because my draft hasn't gone yet because it doesn't go out until Thursday. I got to tear up my whole draft and redo it.
Yeah.
based on that trade because it changes everything else behind it.
Yeah, I mean even that Darnold trade I had to throw away.
We had to do that for our
over.
For our
right.
mock draft for Steelers.com.
Same with the Niner trade. Yeah, I mean it's a good way of putting it. I mean it's such a ripple effect of you can't just say, well, I'm just going to switch these guys out. Like, these teams would think a lot different if
yeah.
Trey Lance is available.
It's not just a matter of, well, these 32 guys are first-round guys, and they're all going to go.
Right. Somehow they all build the same puzzle.
Realistically, there's 45 guys that could go in the first round.
Easy,
if not more.
Yeah. I mean, we go position by position. There's several. I mean, what I like a lot, too, is after the first round – I think it's almost like an all-new draft again.
Yeah,
every team
it really is.
Out
yeah,
one draft, and then everyone goes home for the night, and the Jags have the first pick again, and going, wow, there's 3 really good players. There,
right,
you know,
these guys all had first-round grades,
and they did. They didn't have top 15 grades,
yeah.
You know, but they easily could have gone 25th or
right.
20, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
But that's when the phones will ring again.
Yeah, so we're getting closer. When we come back on Wednesday, we'll be, well, just over a week out. Yeah, can't wait for that. But that
I imagine the drive will go Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week, and then Monday, Wednesday next week.
Actually, are we a week out or 2 weeks out? Today's the 12th. The draft isn't until the 29th. So we are actually 2 weeks out.
Yeah. You're right.
You're messing me up with
that. I'm all screwed up. Yeah. That's me.
Next week is Earth Day. It's a bigger... We got Tax Day on Thursday, which will be the 2 weeks out from the draft. Then the following week is Earth Day on Thursday.
Okay, then draft.
On my little calendar here, does not say NFL draft on the 29th, but it should because that's just as big of a holiday.
Is it still Tax Day?
What's that?
Didn't Tax Day change?
It's the 15th, according to this.
Okay, I thought it changed this year.
No.
Whatever.
Anyways, but that's going to do it for our show today. So for Matt Williamson, for Jacob Ruck here on site, keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.